Welcome to a special episode of The More Perfect Union, the podcast that offers real debate without the hate. And tonight, with a lot of drinking and a lot of laughter. Hi, I'm Kevin Kelton, a moderate Democrat in Los Angeles, California.
I'm DJ McGuire, a progressive conservative from Suffolk, Virginia.
I'm Greg Matuszak, a common sense liberal who hasn't been able to take a breath because I've been hyperventilating and laughing since this afternoon from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm Rebecca Kushmider, a gleeful and progressive feminist from Kensington, Maryland.
And tonight we're doing a special episode because of the amazing events of today. We usually just do one a week, but this week we're going to do a special second episode because we wanted to speak about the developments in the Manafort trial and the Cohen trial and some other big news stories that hit today. So first of all, let's talk about Michael Cohen, who pled guilty today to, I believe, 8 counts of being a bad boy. And it's not so much that he pled guilty. The real surprise, of course, is that
he implicated the president.
He didn't, though.
Yes, yeah, he
implicated a candidate. He never mentioned. Right. And that's my favorite part about this is he said he implicated a candidate. So it's either the president or Bernie Sanders.
Well, they're chanting lock her up in West Virginia tonight, so it could be Hillary Clinton.
That's the other best part about this is they're still chanting lock her up. Like, perhaps it was Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Kevin had just had a great metaphor for this. He said, you know, when you go to a Trump rally, you chant lock her up for the same reason you throw out lines when you go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's just part of the experience. It doesn't it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
I mean, but do you think the Trump people are sitting there like, perhaps Hillary Clinton did have Cohen payoff?
No, of course not.
But
they, like I said, thank you for mentioning that. It's just at this point, it's just an experience. We're going to go to a Donald Trump rally. We're going to yell lock her up, and then we're going to give the finger to some black people. It'll be a great night.
Right. Oh, yell at the press.
Yep, yell at the media.
Yell at the press.
Scream fake news. Do you think they ask for their money back if they don't get, you know, to yell lock her up? Or
yeah, they probably would. they go through Ticketmaster, want their finance charges back.
A Trump rally is the ultimate refutation to George Orwell because they can do 2-minute hate for hours.
Okay, but we didn't convene this little convocation of the More Perfect Union fan club just to talk about Trump tonight.
Oh, that's
no,
true.
We
I'm
didn't.
Sorry.
We
came here to talk about Cohen.
Right, we did
the felons.
Right, we did it because the felons. Let's face it, it's Christmas in August. I was looking for a Crazy Eddie commercial on my TV this afternoon. I didn't get one.
oh my God!
But
there's
this is it. it's you know, probably one of the happiest people is Congressman Duncan Hunter, and we'll explain why a little later. But,
yes.
This is if anything could knock Paul Manafort off the front pages, you know, Michael Cohen salute. You managed to pull it off. This is. All of the things that everyone is really upset about in terms of Russian interference, essentially some chicanery was involved in putting a thumb on the scales in the election. We now know that Trump essentially did that himself. I mean, we kind of always knew it. But now it is there in black and white in not just a plea deal that Michael Cohen made under penalty of perjury, but also with the reams of evidence that the prosecution has stated at that plea, at that plea discussion, where they said, look, where the court said, what evidence do you have? And they didn't go in chapter and verse, but they talked about all the text messages and the emails and this message, that message. And the other thing that I found interesting, and this has really been talked about, is that Donald Trump did not personally pay off Michael Cohen. He ordered the Trump Organization to pay off Michael Cohen. Folks, corporations have not been able to make political contributions to campaigns directly since 1907. It's been illegal for 100 years, all right? That's a crime any way you slice it. So
and
we
it's not
go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not like the political contributions thing, the FEC stuff, I was like, they're going to slap him with a $500 fine. What are they actually going to do? You can go to jail for this shit. You know, messing around with dollar amounts this big when it comes to elections, I looked it up. I read I didn't read the whole thing, but I downloaded a 250-page Justice Department document about what the penalties are for committing election campaign finance violations, and it's prison. You go to prison for it. That's why Michael Cohen's going to jail.
Yeah. And, you know, the right likes to then come back with, well, John Edwards did the same thing and he got acquitted. Well, that's one case where a person did something similar and got acquitted. That doesn't mean that's the norm.
Right. And John Edwards didn't plead guilty to it either. He fought the charge and won in a court of law, which is as it should be.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the person who was supposedly paid off,
Riley Hunter.
Yeah.
Riley Hunter.
Thank you.
Riley Hunter.
My apologies to Ms. Hunter for butchering her name twice. But she was also an employee of the campaign at some point, if memory serves, which probably muddied the waters for any particular jury. None of that happened here. No one is saying that Stephanie Clifford, her actual name, consulted for the Trump campaign. No, this was clearly a payoff designed to keep her quiet. And it was a payoff made by a corporation. That's illegal, people. Illegal with a capital I.
And the timeline is indisputably about the campaign because the affairs took place a gazillion years ago, both with Ms. Clifford and Ms. McDougal. Those had happened years ago, long before he was running for president. If he just wanted to hush them up for the sake of hushing them up, he should have done it immediately upon breaking up with the women, not in September of 2016.
October.
Even worse. Yeah.
Even worse. Because here's the thing to remember. Because we talk about what kind of effect this might have had. We talk about the effect this might have had. If every 50th, that's one in 50, Trump voters had chosen to stay home or vote for someone else nationwide, Donald Trump loses the election. If every 100th Republican voter chose to vote for Hillary Clinton instead, Donald Trump loses the election. That's how close the election was, folks. We all know this. That means everything was important. Every Clinton mistake, every Trump advantage, including the illegal advantage of keeping two of your mistresses quiet. That's why this is a big deal.
I honestly wonder, did anyone not know Trump has had mistresses over time? And did anyone particularly care that he had mistresses? This seems like the weird thing for him to have focused on and tried to cover up after the Access Hollywood tape was able to blow over.
Oh, yeah. This to me seems like a party breaking into another party's headquarters in a hotel or even though they were way ahead in the polls and there was no reason to do it and do it like in the middle of the week and do it badly. I mean, it just seems so stupid.
Let's just make a couple of things clear.
Okay, so go on.
First of all, as we all know, Michael Cohen today pleaded guilty to felonies, okay? So let's not get caught up in what the felony is. A felony is a felony. And in doing so, he directly implicated the candidate, who everyone knows is Donald Trump,
crime. To be clear, the reason we know it's Donald Trump is because Michael Cohen never worked for any other candidates.
No, it's clearly Donald Trump. Right. Let's not even get into the game of Owen.
Just for anybody who wants to be like, well, it could still be Bernie Sanders. It really can't.
No. Okay, you're joking.
Let's not
confuse the situation. He implicated the sitting president in felonies committed to change the outcome of an election. The other thing to keep in mind is just imagine if Hillary Clinton had won and it had come out a year and a half later that one of her attorneys, let's say Lanny Davis, had paid off Juanita Broderick to stay silent during the election using campaign funds or Clinton Foundation funds. What would have the Republicans have said about that? Well, we all know that they would be their heads would be exploding. This is a big deal. It is a high crime, which I know DJ wanted to hit on, and it is an impeachable offense. Whether the Congress will impeach him for it remains to be seen. But there is no doubt it is an impeachable offense.
Right. Now, technically, Trump right now is considered an unindicted co-conspirator. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's not named, but he's definitely there. And the only reason he's an unindicted co-conspirator is because he's the sitting president of the United States. That's the only reason his ass isn't in a jail cell right now. Period. That's it.
Did you hear Alan Dershowitz today argue that he feels that the term unindicted co-conspirator in that label is very unfair to a president because, and I'm quoting now,
please,
because he can't defend himself because there's no trial. Well, Mr. Dershowitz, the place to defend himself is either sitting in a witness chair in front of Robert Mueller,
yes,
or sitting in a witness chair in the Senate.
Us preach gospel. Exactly. Amen, brother. And to the second point, you're right. But being impeached is not a legal aspect. It's a political one. So,
yes,
right.
Yes, that's how the Constitution spells out, or the Constitution right. plus today's DOJ exactly. spells out dealing with this sort of criminal behavior when the occupant of the White House is implicated in a high crime, which Mr. Trump now is. The removing him from office can only be done through Congress. Even if you could indict the president, even if you could convict the president, that doesn't remove him from the office.
Correct.
Only the United States Senate can do that on the recommendation of impeachment from the House. And it is now on the current congressional majority, the current House majority, to at least hold hearings and start the process, at least get the committees going. You know, if you want to say, I want to wait for the committee to at least begin an investigation, fine, say that. But at least say the committee should investigate. Because at this point, if the congressional majority does not say that, I am very confident, not a prediction, just an expression of confidence, that the voters will replace it with a congressional majority that will.
Another thing that, and at this point now I'm parroting things that I've heard on cable TV today because I just
aren't we all in it.
Aren't we all? Yeah, I've never heard the term unindicted co-conspirator.
That only happened six times today. If that was part of a drinking game, I would not have been able to answer the Skype call. I'd be like,
it's not working. I need another drink. I heard unindicted co-conspirator. But I want to point out something that I heard on TV today by a very smart attorney who knows what he's talking about, because I'm not a lawyer, so what I say really doesn't matter. But this gentleman said, you know, a lot of people argue. First of all, they said the DOJ memo saying that a president cannot be indicted is not the law. It is just a memo, and it does not have the weight of law. So Mueller could turn around and ignore that and indict the president. And it then goes to the courts, and the courts will decide whether a president can be indicted or not. But here's the bigger point I wanted to make. This gentleman said, you know, a lot of people argue that a president cannot be indicted because it would be too much of a distraction from his official duties. It would take up too much of his time. this man went on to say, but the Constitution allows for impeachment, and hey, that's quite a distraction too. So there really is no argument that a distraction is the reason why a president can't be indicted.
Well, a distraction and a misuse of the president's time. The guy works from 11 to 4 p.m. 4 days a week, and then he golfs. He's literally spent a fifth of his presidency golfing. So I don't think we need to worry about his time management issues. The guy isn't managing it.
Well, it was a hypothetical argument. It wasn't about this president.
But the more important matter here is that Bob, everything we know about Bob Mueller says that he is not going to challenge DOJ policy in that. If DOJ policy says the president cannot be indicted, Mueller is not going to go around his boss, Rod Rosenstein, and said, oh, yes, we can indict him.
No, he won't go around him, DJ, but I wouldn't rule out that the two of them decide to test it. I'm not saying they will. I wouldn't rule it out.
So you're saying Rosenstein might change DOJ policy.
Well, first of all, I hate to do this, but it's Rosenstein.
I'm sorry, Rosenstein.
Yes. I just want our viewers to know that we know. Our listeners.
We have viewers now.
If we have viewers, oh my God, I apologize. I'm in my pajamas. This is-
But anyways, yes, that's what I'm saying, that Rosenstein and Mueller might decide to test that.
Well, we will see.
I mean, at this point, I need to get out of the prediction business. I wrote a whole column today about, you know, I got a prediction right that Kevin and I, together, we got a prediction right that, you know, there'd be at least a partially hung jury in the Manafort trial. But now I feel, I think this blew the game wide open when you have, you know, Cohen standing there in court going, yes, I committed a crime. Yes, it's because the president told me to commit it. Yes, it was to influence the election. Like, that's, I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard anything like that. So who the hell knows what's going to happen next? I mean, I assume Bob Mueller knew all of this beyond a shadow of a doubt 6 months ago. And he's just been sitting on it.
Here's another thing to keep in mind. Today was the day that the special master who was going through all of the material that was taken from the raid of Cohen's offices and home, he finished his official inventory of what is privileged and what is not. So there was no need for Mueller's team to then start any type of an investigation or any type of analysis. They were ready. They were 100% ready for today. This just happened to be the day that they could move forward because all of the material that they needed was officially theirs.
Yeah, and I think the let me try this again. I've been completely distracted. I happen to sneak a peek at Twitter, and there's a fellow who has come up with a name I have not yet heard for the president. Sippy Cup Caligula.
Oh my God!
You can understand why I might have been just completely distracted here.
I'm speechless. Who is the person, and I must follow them immediately?
It's at the risk of doxing the poor fellow, it's Patrick S. Tomlinson. Okay. At Stealthy Geek.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure. Okay.
Well done, Patrick.
So, yeah.
So we haven't touched really much on Manafort yet.
Okay, good. That was my question. Have we shifted to Manafort?
Because
Sippy Cup Caligula just flooded the brain cells. Yes, yeah, so this was actually – the Manafort verdict was the one you could tell that the Trump defenders were more willing to take this on than Michael Cohen for obvious reasons because – whatever the verdict was going to be, they were going to say all along, oh, well, this has nothing to do with Russian collusion. This is about stuff he did before he joined the campaign. What they leave out is that this is about money that Paul Manafort did not pay taxes on and that he hid from tax authorities or that he got through various other ill-gotten means because of his connections with pro Putin officials in Ukraine and Russia, including an oligarch friend of Vladimir Putin, to whom Manafort wanted to sell influence for eight figures, the forgiveness of a very big loan. So this is all about the money that Manafort made from the Russian contacts that likely had a hand in tipping the scales, putting a thumb on the scales in the 2016 election. So this is tied to Russia. It's about the money that Manafort made largely from Russia. And what the jury decided was essentially anything that didn't involve Gates, which says something about what they thought about Gates' credibility. But anything that didn't involve Gates, yeah, Manafort did it, and they convicted him on those.
DJ, I want to jump in. Do you think that he cops a plea for the second trial? I think he does.
Honestly, I don't know, because I just threw out the word that might overrule everything, which is namely Novichok.
You think Putin's going to come in and poison the guy?
Are you really ruling it out?
I'm almost as drunk as you, DJ. I can't rule on things.
I do think that's I do think that's in the back of his mind, and I've said this on this show. I do think that he's thinking that prison is bad. Seeing my children and my wife murdered in front of me is worse.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyone who works with Putin ever has to have that at some point in their head. There is a possibility that this guy is going to kill everyone I love and myself with some sort of toxic agent.
But can we also remember that one of Paul Manafort's prime directives, I believe, from Putin was to change the Republican platform to the pro-Russian whatever stuff that they added at the convention. And he did get that done.
He did. Absolutely.
I mean, yes. Everything else this. Might be gravy.
There's two major things that Manafort did that people kind of swipe under the carpet. One is changing the plank in the GOP platform to be more pro-Ukraine and more pro-Russian, or less pro-Ukraine and more pro-Russian.
That's better.
That was done specifically at the behest of Manafort while he was being paid by people who were agents of the Russian government. And the second thing he did, remember when there was that intimidation campaign going on where people were going to the doors of delegates, knocking on their doors and telling them, if you don't vote for Trump, you will be, and I forget what the threat was, but it was a real serious threat. That was all done by Manafort, too. You know, it was not a foregone conclusion that Trump was going to win the nomination at the convention. They strong-armed a lot of delegates to support Trump. That was Manafort's doing, too.
Do you remember the third thing that Manafort is given credit for?
Okay, I don't. What is it?
He picked Pence.
Oh, that's really? Right. That's right.
I thought it was Ivanka and Jared, but no.
Not at all. In fact, Manafort was credited for picking Pence, hand picking Pence. And this is the thing where everyone's like, well, this must be the best day for Pence too, because Pence is now like, you know, in 6 months this could be Pence land. You know, everyone break out their crosses and their square dances, whatever he does. And I'm like,
see, I was gonna put on a pair of white wings and a red dress.
Yeah, that's even funnier. Not so fast, because shit rolls downhill. And if Manafort has his dirty hands in Trump, there's a good chance he's got him all over Pence's, you know, holy rollers. So.
Okay, this the visuals here, the shit and the hands and the holy rolling, and I've got some really weird mental images here, Greg.
It's not mental. That's the hard part. It's for real.
Let me ask you, Rebecca, do you think that this is going to have any effect on the midterms at all?
Yes.
And in what regard?
We talk about the people who are in West Virginia chanting, lock her up. Those people are going to vote for the Trumpiest Trumps that ever Trumped, and all of their clones, no matter what happens. Trump really could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue. Democrats are really going to vote, you know, as Democrat-y as we possibly can. But, you know, the undecided voters, the people who maybe didn't vote in 2016, I think this is a wake-up call, because the corruption is now provable. It's not just a thing the media is doing. It has been proven in open court that these are bad and corrupt people who are not working in the best interest of the country. And I think that will influence people, at least shade their thinking.
Well, ideally, but I mean, I don't know if you guys, Kevin's been on the talk shows, but I've been on the internet all day because I have a 9 and 12
year old.
I've
been listening to them. I haven't been on them. Okay. I wish I'd been on them.
Really? Yeah. Why isn't Kevin on Maddow right now?
You would think he's trying to stay off Trump's enemies list. But yeah. So I've been on the internet, and like every website has been like Manafort, Cohen, except for, of course, Fox, which top story, by the way, is, anyone know what the Fox top story is right now?
The illegal that alien that killed that Iowa. Student in Iowa.
An yes. Illegal alien, which, you know, now all of a sudden I'm more afraid of illegal aliens killing, you know, teenage girls.
Yeah, forgive my use of the term. That's how I read it on.
I know. And that's
well,
how,
and they're
that's
trying
how it was
to
stated.
Say that this is going to that story is going to overshadow all of this. And they're like, well, you know, because she's been a household name for weeks, and not my household. I'd never heard of her before today. Although I feel terrible about what happened to her.
In the plains, I am sure this was a very big deal for obvious reasons.
Sure.
I think there's one aspect of this, though, that a lot of people haven't talked about that may actually help the Republicans as a boomerang in the future. That is, there were maybe a handful of Democrats running for reelection in Trump-carried states who were thinking that they could vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh as Supreme Court Justice. I don't think any of them are going to feel like they can do that now. And that could end up in states like West Virginia, where Trump is now, maybe even Indiana and North Dakota. That may end up helping Republican challengers a bit, who are trying to get their base out and get them going to say, you know, because there are a lot of Trump voters who only voted for Trump because of the Supreme Court. And if every Democrat votes against Brett Kavanaugh, that might, which I would actually say that's more likely at this point than it, more, far more likely than it was yesterday, then you're likely to see Republican candidates, particularly Republican Senate candidates, say, you have to vote for me to make sure that we can keep confirming good justices and judges, and don't worry about that other crazy nonsense stuff. It's about the judicial branch. Come vote Republican. And I think that will help them. I don't know how much it will help them. I think the energy of the Democratic base will be more important. I still don't think any incumbent Democrat loses re-election, but it is something that could end up at least partially energizing the Republican base as one of the backlashes to what I think will be the inability of any Democrat to vote for, to confirm Brett Kavanaugh now.
All right. Can anyone have any conversation? Can anyone in this country now reasonably say there was no meddling in the election at all? I mean, period. And can anyone say
reasonably? No. Reasonably, people will still say it.
Reasonably,
I mean, there
no.
are people who can now say that, well, it wasn't Russian meddling. It was just typical campaign, you know, shenanigans. But, all right. But, you know, these were shenanigans that were against the law.
I've actually read something worse, and it's from a friend of mine on Facebook who I will not name, but I have known him for almost a dozen years now. We were bloggers together for a while. We used to meet somewhat socially when we both worked up in Northern Virginia. I left the Republican Party. He stayed. He actually, in response to the Cohen plea deal, said, well, you know, a former FEC chairman said there really wasn't anything criminal here. And somebody responded, yeah, but the guy actually pled guilty to crimes. And the response from this guy was, people plead guilty to a lot of things, including things of which they are not guilty. That's how badly they're willing to pretzelize themselves, some of them. I'm just putting it out there.
Wow. Of course. No, there are people that will rationalize anything to defend Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And we know they exist, but the thing to remember is you don't have to win them all. You just have to win a very small sliver of them to take Trump to a point where he is no longer viable. Right now, he's at 40, maybe 42% approval rating. I personally doubt those numbers, but let's say that he's at 40% approval rating. You get him down to 35 and under after the midterms, when the Democrats have taken control of the House. He really doesn't have much hang-on power after that.
I think if the Republicans keep the Senate, then I think Trump will probably limp into 2020, and I think he has enough of a hammerlock on the Democratic Party, on the Republican Party, excuse me, that he will be renominated. If the Democrats actually win the Senate, and I refuse to rule that out, if the Democrats actually win the Senate, then you might see a lot of Republicans going, okay, abandon ship. There's no way that this is sustainable or viable. But the key right now is, in terms of the November elections in 2018 and in 2020, the voters we go after are not the Trump voters. And they're not the Trump converts. If you know somebody who's an Obama-Trump voter, don't talk to them about this. They have the zealotry of a convert. Stay away from them. Talk to the voter who has voted Republican for 20, 25, 30 years. The one who really didn't like Trump. The one who sort of held their nose. But either they really didn't like Clinton, or they've been Republicans all their lives. They looked at economic policy. They looked at that or the other. They're the ones who are more likely to either sit at home or actually flip over and say, okay, yeah, I can't be a part of this anymore. And they're the ones who will decide whether Democrats win the Senate or not, or even whether Democrats win the House or not. They're going to be among the many folks who decide. There are three strategies that Democrats can entertain. They really only should entertain two. One, going after those Obama-Trump voters. Don't do it. Two, going after the older traditional Republicans, the ones who have been the Republicans longer and who are very reluctant supporters of Trump. There's hay to be made there. And three, of course, building up turnout among your base groups and getting after the non-voters. You can do two of those three things. You can't really do all three. I would say drop the converts. You're not going to win them over. And they're proving it by being idiots in response to the news of the day. His fixer may have broken him.
Yes. Well, on that, we want to thank everybody for listening. We don't want to go too long tonight because this was really just a special episode so that we could comment on the news of the day. Please follow us on Twitter at hashtag MPU Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/MorePerfectUnionPodcast and share our link on your Facebook timeline so your friends can discover us as well. And please, just because we did this new episode, don't forget to listen to our regular episode, which we dropped 2 days ago on Monday. It's a really good episode. We had a lot of interesting debate in that one. Please don't just listen to this one and forget about that one. Listen to both of them, and then you'll really be hooked on the MPU podcast.
Go through our archives. Listen to all of them. Go back to the beginning.
Right. Stop watching cable news. Just listen to the MPU podcast. That's all you need to be fully informed on everything in the world.
Also, we're cute. I mean, come on. Look at us.